Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to Coffee and Devotions. This is where every day you and I, we get together, we have a little bit of coffee, we get into God's Word, and we grow in our love for the Lord together. And this year, 2022, we'll make it all the way from the book of Acts to the book of Philemon. I'm so glad to be with you this morning. We are at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, the first 13 verses. Why don't we go ahead and have some coffee, we'll pray, and we'll get into the Lord's Word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this day. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the rich blessing it is to get to sit at your feet. You are our teacher, so we pray that you might send your Holy Spirit this morning, that you would teach us, maybe walk in your paths, follow in your ways. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's go ahead and open up our Bibles. We're at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and we'll be reading the first 13 verses together this morning. Now, these things... Sorry, that's verse 6. Let's try that again. Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself, for I know of nothing against myself. Yet I am not justified by this, but he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the heart. Then each one's praise will come from God. Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other. For who makes you differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? You are already full. You are already rich. You have reigned as kings without us. And indeed, I could wish you did reign, that we might also reign with you. For I think that God has displayed us, the apostles, last, as men condemned to death. For we have been made a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished, but we are dishonored. To the present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and we are poorly clothed and beaten and homeless. And we labor, working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we endure. Being defamed, we entreat. We have been made as the filth of the world, the off-scourging of all things until now. Well, we need to ask ourselves, A, what's this about? B, what's the best verse to summarize this passage? And C, what are we called to do in response to these words? So let's ask ourselves, what's this about? All right, Paul is first in verses, let's see, verse 1 through 5 is one section, and then verses 6 through 13 is the second section. It all ties together. He's still getting at this theme of sectarianism and what's going on here. And in this first part, it's not about Paul. It's not about Apollos. It's not about Cephas. It's about Christ. And it's not Paul's house. It's not Apollos' house. It's Christ's house. And so he says here, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ. Right, this is this idea that there's a master, There's one in authority. There's one in charge. And they're the ones assisting. They're the ones coming alongside. They're the ones who are the lesser. And they're not the master of the house. It's not about them. It's about the master. It's about the Lord. It's about Christ. And so Paul is driving home here. The Holy Spirit is showing us that it's not about the apostles, even though God uses them. They're important men in the church. But the only reason why they're important is because the Holy Spirit has given them his word. Because the Holy Spirit is sending them. Because the message of Jesus Christ is being proclaimed by them. But it's not them. It's about Christ. And so he says, we're just stewards. We're just stewards. That's what he says in verse 2. And stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. Right? It's somebody else's household. And they're like Joseph in Potiphar's household. They're meant to be faithful in how they administer the household, how they do things. He says, it's going to come to light how we're administering the household. Right? He had pointed this out in the previous chapter. We had looked at that before, how if anybody builds with gold or silver or costly stones, that's going to be shown in the last day. But if you built with hay or stubble and straw, you know, that's going to be shown on the last day as well, because the Lord's going to reveal it all. And so it's required of an apostle who is a assistant, who is a steward, who is a servant in God's household, that they do so to his glory. It's about God's glory, not about theirs. And so this is the first part that he's getting at here, is he's saying, they're just stewards. They're servants of God's household. And so he says he's not going to be judged by them, right? What he's saying is, you could say all you want about me. You could defame me. You could say all these reviling things against me. You can be all sectarian and stuff like that. You could say, oh, Paul doesn't really know how to govern the Lord's house. But the reality is, they're not the judge. Paul needs to have a clean heart and pure conscience in God's sight. So he says, I'm not even judging myself, right? I'm just doing what God has called me to do. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to just go serve the Lord. And then we get into this sense where we realize that the Holy Spirit has a sense of irony here. It could be. Some people could take this as biting. And maybe it's meant to be taken that way, right? We in our day and age, we recoil from authority and irony and stuff like that. But here, there's a tone about it. He's saying he has figuratively transferred to himself and Apollos these things. He says that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against another. He says, you're not to go beyond the scriptures. You're not to go beyond the things that are written, right? Paul, by this point, the Holy Spirit has inspired him to quote the Old Testament. By the fourth chapter, he's already quoted the Old Testament 5 different times. It's not Paul's ideas. Don't go beyond what the Holy Spirit has given. See, it's not about Paul's genius. It's not about Apollos's rhetoric. It's not about humans and their fame. It's not about Cephas and his powerful speeches. It's about Christ. And so he says, right, you're not to be puffed up. It's not about your pride. It's not about who you're following. It's about the one who has saved you. And then this is where the irony comes in. You've received it, so don't boast about it. And that's in verse 7. And in verse 8, he says, you're already rich. You're already full. You're already reigning as kings without us. And indeed, I wish that I could reign as a king, that we might also reign with you. Right? He's saying, you're already acting like you're royalty. You're already doing all these things. You're already acting like it's all, you got all the hot stuff. Man, I wish I was in your shoes. I wish I was with you. Man, it'd be a good old time. But that's not the way it's going, is it? No. Nope. That's not how it is at all. Instead, I'm reviled. And when people revile me, I bless them. When people persecute us, meaning the apostles and the teachers, the prophets, he says, we bless them. Right? They've been made a spectacle. And the Corinthians would have gotten what Paul is saying here. See, when he says that they've been made a spectacle, that they're the last ones who are being laughed at, in the amphitheaters, when you would go to war with people, they would take all the losers and they would march them through the city and they would laugh at them. And then the worst of the criminals, the worst of the derelicts, the worst of the renegades, they would leave them to last. Because the worst of the worst would be brought into the arena to be laughed at by everyone and then to be killed by the wild beasts or to have to fight the gladiators. And he's saying, that's what it's like to be an apostle. See the way in which the world is being turned on its head? They're acting like it's all about being the top man. It's all about being the most famous apostle, preacher, teacher, orator, rhetorician. They say, no, you know what it's like? The first must become last. You have to learn to be a servant. You have to learn to lay down your life for the sheep. You have to follow the road of Christ. And Paul says, that's good enough for me. Paul says, that's the road of Christianity. That's the way in which we walk. We have been made as the filth of the world, the offscourging of all things, until now. All right. What's the best verse to summarize this? Well, in my Bible, I have verse 4 underlined. But thinking about it, I think I might underline verses 1 and 2. What would you underline in your Bible? Let me know down in the comments. I'm kind of torn about this one. What would you underline as the best verse that gets at the heart of this passage? Well, last, see calling. What are we called to do in response to this? Is Christ preeminent? Let me ask you. Are you going to a church because the pastor isn't going beyond what is written and is exalting Christ? Or are you going to a church because the pastor speaks well, because he's eloquent, because he's winsome, because he's able to speak in a way in which people are wowed by his eloquence? Are you there because this church is faithful to Christ? Are you there because these elders live out Christ in front of the people? Are they blessing people who persecute them? Do they have a reputation for standing with Christ even in the midst of turmoil and shame? Is it about factions or is it about Christ? Where are you going and why are you there? In your own heart, have you been filled with pride? Many young Calvinists struggle with this. All of a sudden coming and finding out that there's this whole world of Reformed theology, and they start to latch themselves onto certain thinkers, certain writers, and in so doing, they actually lose sight of Christ. Love Christ. Go to Jesus. Never lose sight of your first love. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your Holy Spirit. And we pray, Lord, that you would please work in us a spirit that would rejoice and exalt in Christ. Lord, we pray that you would teach us to follow after you. Forgive us for where we have been divisive. Forgive us where we have been carnal. Forgive us where we have been full of pride rather than humility. Lord, we pray that we would fix our eyes on Jesus. And that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, would conform us to Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Well, may the Lord bless you today. May you walk in the peace that could only come from Jesus Christ. And I'll see you on Tuesday. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from God's Word for You, a ministry of Sharon RP Church in rural Southeast Iowa. We pray that the message would be used by God to transform your faith and your life this week. If you'd like to get more information about us, feel free to go to the website, SharonRPC.org. We'd love to invite you to worship with us. Our worship time is 10 a.m. every Sunday at 25204 160th Avenue, Morning Sun, Iowa, 52640. May God richly bless you this week.